त्वन्नं सर्वैरास्नायु त्वन्नं सर्वैरास्नायु मेरोमजस्ति संहतो मेरोमजस्ति संहतो विन्मुत्रपुयोरमथम् विन्मुत्रपुयोरमथम् क्रीमिणं कियत् अन्तरम् क्रीमिणं कियत् अन्तरम् त्वन्मं सर्वैरास्नायु मेरोमजस्ति संहतो विन्मुत्रपुयोरमथम् क्रीमिणं कियत् अन्तरम् out of sin, mamsa, flesh, rudhira, blood, snayu, muscle, meha, fat, maja, marrow, asti, and bone, samhato, composed, vit, of stool, mutra, urine, Puye and pus. Ramatam, enjoying. Kriminam, compared to the worlds. Kiyat, how much. Antaram, difference. Translation by the servants of His Evangelical Prabhupada. What difference is there between ordinary worlds and persons who try to enjoy this material body composed of skin, flesh, blood, muscles, fat, marrow, bone, stool, urine, and pus? Translation responsibly. What difference is there between ordinary worlds and persons who try to enjoy this material body composed of skin, flesh, blood, muscle, fat, marrow, bone, stool, urine, and pus. I'll read text 22 and 23. Atha vinopasajeta srishu shraneshu chatavit jisayendriya samyogan manak shubhyanti nanyata. Translation. Yet even one who theoretically understands the actual nature of the body should never associate with women or with men attached to women. After all, the contact of the senses with their objects inevitably agitates the mind. Text 23. Aristarashita bhavan nabhava upajayate asamprayunjata pranam shamyati stintam manaham. Translation. Because the mind is not disturbed by that which is neither seen nor heard, the mind of a person who restricts the material senses will automatically be checked in its material activities and become pacified. Purport. It may be argued that even while closing one's eyes, while dreaming, or while living in a solitary place, one may remember or contemplate sense gratification. Such an experience, however, is due to previous sense gratification that one repeatedly saw and heard. When one restricts the senses from their objects, especially from intimate contact with women, the mind's material propensity will slacken, and like a fire without fuel, eventually die. Omagyanatim vandasyaikyanan kinaslapaya chakshramintamyena chasvashivurvenamaha Shri Chaitanya Mahavishnu Stakitamina Vichaya Swami Bhagavan Tati Shapanatam Anchakalpa through Vishak Vipassan Vibhyam Chapati Dram Pavan Vibhyam Vaishnava Yo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna. So we're in this section again in the Aila Gita, instructions of Krishna to Uddhava, explaining how by one's association one can actually liberate oneself from suffering. So in the previous chapter we were discussing the three modes of material nature and beyond, and now Krishna is giving this example, this pastime, which he's expertly explaining how attachment to material sense objects leads to nothing but suffering. So oftentimes in the Bhagavatam or in the Bhagavad Gita, we find that although we understand in Krishna, in the Vedic literature, it's explained that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we should worship Krishna, no other personality. And amidst all of that, there's different explanations of karma, different explanations of jnana, of Ashtanga Yoga, of mystic perfections. So many different systems are also explained. And the modes of material nature are explained over and over again in different sections. Entire chapters are dedicated to all these different different energies and how they build a living entity. And this is done so, Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the third canto, in the pastime of Lord Kapila instructing his mother, Devahuti, it explained that all these different yoga systems, all these different points in the Vedic literatures are put forward for us to be able to see the inadequacies. So we have entire chapters dedicated to Dhyana Yoga or Sangha Yoga or mystic perfections and how one attains that. But ultimately the final conclusion is that bhakti is far more superior than these other processes and what they can offer. So it gives us an ability, because in the conditioned mind, of course, we want to accept and reject, and we weigh the options, what's much better, should I go for object A or object B? So when we're given these varieties of ways to enjoy or way to advance, we can get to literally see which one is the topmost. So we cannot compare, of course, the pleasures of sense gratification or yogic perfections to the pleasures we get from performing devotional service to Krishna. So we get to see, we talk about all these different systems, we talk about jnana, about yoga, so that we can see the drawbacks that these systems are presenting. So here we're seeing the drawback of material attachment. So we have different chapters, different pastimes that are showing what attachment to the material senses and sense objects does for the living entity. So I was reading yesterday how in this purport is explaining that we perform all these different mental activities, or we try and create situations for our enjoyment repeatedly over and over again, and this is influenced very much by what we see and what we hear. So there's a very this is a very important point, because in our process of advancement in Krishna consciousness, we understand that the basis for everything that we do is Shravanam and Kirtanam. So our hearing and our chanting, the association, is very important. And at the same time, if we want to advance materially, we also have to see and hear certain things. So in our everyday, if we're engaged in work or school or studying, we get to see how people are operating outside of devotional service. So we have different, I'll use the example of advertising. So advertising, they use a lot of visual stimulation, right? The power of sight. So what happens is it's called visual manipulation. So already the sense objects are there and people get attracted to them, but these personalities who are in charge of attracting and drawing as many people as possible to their products or to their consumers' products, really, they even try to entice the products even more. So you won't only get a normal, let's say it's a cologne or it's a perfume, it smells nice, they'll put a pretty picture of, let's say, a young man or a young woman who's in their youth. So it's really proposing that for you to feel youthful, for you to feel young and vivacious, you have to have this cologne. Or if you want to wear a certain type of clothing, right, there's so many visual aids that are pushing forward a certain type of dress. And if you have that type of dress, then you're part of the crew, you're a real person. So not only do they expose these sense objects, but they also entice them more and more to increase our desire to have these sense objects. So the sense objects themselves, they become enhanced in the hands of those who are trying to control, and they're retouched, and there's certain ambience and emotion that is put into these visual perceptions. So we see here from what we're seeing, we can get influenced very much. So we change our entire consciousness and our entire mindset. And this is how advertising gets promoted. This is how they try and lure people into more and more sense gratification. So of course this is nothing new. If we read from the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, we understand that the material energy is doing the material energy is actually behind all of this. People are pushed by the modes of passion and ignorance, and the material energy, she has, you know, this potency, the covering potency, and the potency to make us forget the suffering we experience from trying to enjoy. So Maya is proposing all these nice, beautiful ways to enjoy over and over again. So Maya gives us nice things to see, nice things to hear, nice things to touch, sensations for our skin, sensations for our body. So material energy, since time immemorial, has been doing this already. And when I was reading this book, this person, I forget his name, Paul Messaris, yeah, he wrote this entire book on visual persuasion and how it's such a new thing. But we understand that the material energy, this is what it's meant to do. It keeps on imposing our enjoyment. It keeps on tainting and enhancing the objects for sense enjoyment. So this has been going on already. And this is what repeatedly draws us into performing sense gratification over and over again. Because from what we see and what we hear, this goes into our consciousness. And although it's not manifesting immediately in the future, the desire or the proclivity to want to enjoy will come out. And as we understand when we study the Nectar of Devotion and the four ways in which sinful reactions come out, that the body that we have right now is a result of our previous desire. So in our previous desire, we have the stock of desires in our heart, and they manifest and they gave us this body. So this is a product of our aparabdha karma. So this is the manifestation of our desires from our previous birth. And then from that, if we continue being guided and being aided by material desire or material sense gratification, we get through the association of the modes of material nature that we explained previously, we get, you know, some proclivity to perform sinful activities. You know, and this comes very small, very subtle ways of, you know, wanting to cheat or stealing a little something or wanting to exploit someone to get something in return. So these are all subtle ways that the living entity will try and start enhancing the sense gratification. And when we go beyond the proclivity to want to perform sinful reactions, then we naturally start developing a real desire to perform those activities. So a thief is not just born today. You know, you trace back the mentality of someone who's landed to be one of the biggest criminals or rapists or whatever you call it these days. And it's something that they've been cultivating over periods of time. So the mentality gradually starts growing, and then the seed gets implanted in the heart to perform this sense gratification. And when the seed is already planted in the heart, it's only a matter of time till we go out and perform those sinful activities. So it's not just one day, damn, okay, I'm going to be sinful today. I feel like being a sinner. No, it's over periods of time that these unmanifested reactions, from what we see, what we hear, gets implanted in our mind, in our consciousness. And if we keep contemplating the objects of the senses, we develop attachment for them, as Krishna is explaining in Bhagavad Gita, the gradual fall down of living entity. We develop attachment for them, and then we start getting very lusty. We want to enjoy, we want to have these objects. But when we don't, you know, we get angry, right? Intense mode of passion, mode of ignorance, we get angry, our mind gets stolen away, our intelligence falls down. And when the intelligence is lost, we have no power of discrimination. We'll do anything to try and fulfill our desire. And we trace all of this down, of course, this is very much enhanced from what we see and from what we hear, what we're taking in. So if we take in garbage, we'll vomit it out. You know, whatever you take in is going to come out. Whatever association we take is going to rub off and we'll start acting in a specific way. So just as Ajahnul did in the passing of Ajahnul in the sixth canto, you know, he had a little association by seeing people of a lower nature embracing, enjoying each other's bodies. And then that thought pattern or that idea went into his consciousness. And although he was a very pious person performing religious duties, he was a brahmana, he was worshipping different deities, he wasn't particularly performing pure, on the path of pure devotional service. Therefore, the desire or the seed of sense gratification wasn't removed from his heart. So he continued being charitable, worshipping the lady, performing his duties. But later on, that image, that desire popped up. But the seed was implanted in his heart, and it was just then, after some time, he started getting the desire to actually enjoy with that prostitute. So we see that the different processes, whether it's, you know, just simple Vanashram or yoga, Dhyana yoga, Stanga yoga, Karma yoga, all these processes, yes, they can elevate us to a certain degree. They can give us, at least get us to the platform of Sattva-gun, where we start now reading scripture. For the scriptures explain that they're in the mode of goodness. When we start reading about bhakti, of course, this is transcendental knowledge. So we see that from there onwards, you know, those processes don't really annihilate the seed to enjoy. Those systems, they do not wipe out this avijja or ignorance of thinking that we are the main enjoyers in this material world. So the process of devotional service is one so that our mind completely becomes attached to serving Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So for a person who's fixed in that consciousness, he cannot be swayed by any other activity. The Nectar of Devotion explained that, I can't remember probably from the top of my head, but the gist of it is that one who's attained this this highest state of love of God, he is unmovable, just as the molecular structure of steel. Like, it is so thick, it is so dense, that nothing can actually penetrate it. So the devotional service, the pure devotional service that one engages in after some time and after gradual practice, you know, one becomes so firm and so steady in their practice, and no other form of yoga, liberation, no other form of jnana can actually penetrate this intense love he has for Krishna by practicing the process of even sadhana bhakti, that we gradually make this step from sadhana bhakti to bhava bhakti and to prema bhakti. So the main things that we're doing right now is hearing and chanting about Krishna, and by thus engaging our mind and our senses, we slacken this propensity to want to enjoy separately from Krishna. So by engaging in these nine processes, this fire of wanting to enjoy, of wanting to be the center, of wanting to be the Ishvara, is reduced. And gradually, as our efforts in bhakti increase, you know, our propensity to want to run towards the material energy will decrease at the same time. And this is what Krishna has been explaining to Uddhava. And we know that without a sharpened intelligence, the mind falls prey to being controlled by the senses. So the way we sharpen our intelligence, of course, is to read from scripture. This is how we sharpen our intelligence, and this is how we worship the Lord with our mind. We get purified in this way. So when Lord Katrina Dev is speaking to his mother, there's a very beautiful verse that explains the position of a devotee engaging in devotional service. And it says that the exalted devotee's mind becomes equipoised in sensory activities and is transcendental to what is agreeable and what is not agreeable. So here it means that even though we're in this material world, there's duality and we're practicing, we're on the path of perfection. So many things may come and go. So many negative things may come and go. You know, we feel pain, we feel pleasures, etc. But we remain equipoised because we are understanding that we are beyond the material body and the senses. So we stick very much to hearing topics that are meant to soothe the mind and elevate our mind and consciousness. So we detach ourselves from material association as much as possible, in its subtle form and in its gross form. Because when we get subtle association, whether it's through reading, materialistic literature, we may think, oh, it's just a once-off, I'm reading this magazine and finding out what Tom Cruise is doing and how much weight, you know, Heidi Klum has lost and who's the skinniest person. Or, you know, we get to read all these things and we think, oh, okay, now just once in a while I read them. But these form subtle impressions in our mind and in our consciousness. And sometime later we'll start looking at ourselves in the mirror and we'll think, actually, you know, I should get that laser treatment. I should redefine my jaws, have them looking like Brad Pitt. Or I should lose some weight. I should become very, very thin. This is what you call beauty in this world. So all these things will trigger off, you know, bodily designations. This is what subtle association of materialistic mentality does. So what we're seeing and what we're hearing outside of devotional service, this does not aid our Krishna consciousness. Unless we're seeing it, of course, when we're on the topmost level and whatever we see is Krishna. You know, like Srila Prabhupada, he sees a worm or he sees a bird on a branch and he immediately thinks this bird is so attached, not understanding that Krishna is the control and he can do anything at any time. That branch can fall down and his home is destroyed, but he is so attached, just look at him. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, when you're on the highest platform, whatever, 24 hours a day, you're just seeing Krishna's energy in everything. You see how Krishna is working all the time. But this, for us, will take gradual practice to be able to see Krishna through the eyes of Shastra. So this very subtle understanding that whatever we see, whatever we hear influences us, and we should become very careful in our dealings from what we take in, because this forms future experiences. So we get to purify our mind. Of course, you know, we like reading, we like singing, we like to do so many things. We can do it in relation to Krishna. So we can read about Krishna's pastimes, we can look at beautiful forms of Krishna and his devotees. We don't have to look at Tom Cruise and, you know, all these other different people who will put us back on the bodily platform of life, which is what we're trying to get away from. All these different bodily designations. So when it says that we restrict the senses from their objects, it doesn't mean that we're suppressing our senses. But in devotional service, we're using all these senses for Krishna's pleasure. So that is not suppression. That is, Prabhupada called it dovetailing. Like we just turn it, we just redirect our activities towards Krishna, not Krishna's indirect energy. So this is how we take shelter of this instruction in the Ayala Gita section, that we detach ourselves from materialistic ideas and concepts by hearing and chanting about Krishna's activities. And from that detachment, simultaneously we increase our attachment for Krishna. And Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says that he will give us the understanding by which we can get to know him and understand him. So in this process of bhakti, we have the hand of the Lord as well helping us in our endeavors, because he's seated in the heart and he's directing our wanderings. So I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions on what we've discussed this morning. Yes, Prabhu.
You cited the example of Ajanta, where he was performing bhakti yoga. If he had held on to the lower emotion,
he wasn't performing bhakti yoga.
He was doing a meditation.
Yeah, he was just performing a little bit of kamakanda. He was a brahmana. He was worshipping different deities, but he wasn't completely full Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion explains in that instance to show how pure devotional service annihilates the seed of sense gratification. He cites that example to show that no other process can actually do this, because with Ajano, he was doing all these other processes, you know, like offering oblations to different devatas or performing some charity, being very honest, being a brahmana, you know, apart from being a pure devotee of Krishna. So all of that is actually not enough to annihilate the seed of sense gratification. So Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Ajamil, because from him what happened, he wasn't in full Krishna consciousness. He saw the prostitute embracing Amishudra in the forest, and that stuck into his consciousness, and he continued with his ritualistic duties. But after some time of constant thinking about that prostitute, then that seed eventually, you know, grew, and he had to have that attachment. So he wasn't in full Krishna consciousness, and that is why he had to suffer the way that he did. So that example in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada shows that only the process of when you're performing pure bhakti or pure devotional service, the seed for enjoyment is completely annihilated. As this verse says that, you know, this fire to want to enjoy will become slackened when you perform devotional service, and it will uproot all other desires. Some processes, they can take out other things, but the seed of enjoying separately from Krishna is not removed. And this is what bhakti does. It removes this self-centeredness. Yeah, it burns everything. Not just on the, you know, surface, it removes this and that, but it uproots the root of all avidya, of all ignorance, the false ego thinking that I am the center, I am the body, and I'm separate from Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
The other one story and the situation, for example, getting bad impressions, more than sense of it around us, when we go out preaching books or constantly those impressions are
going in.
And at the same time, we are not perfect also, we are doing pure devotional service. So, at the same time, it doesn't get.
Yeah, but we don't, like, it's been 10 years and we're not out there parading and going to, like, gambling, or we're not going to Crown Casino to go and enjoy and stuff like that. This is the amazing thing about Srila Prabhupada's taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Because if you look at it, you know, every single day we meet people who talk complete non-Krishna conscious topics. And it's kind of like when someone is sick and they have germs. It's, you know, and if you're constantly around them, you know, those germs are going to get to you eventually at some point. But in Krishna consciousness, it's amazing that we're not perfect yet, and we're still sincerely endeavoring to preach the glories of Krishna, and Krishna's protecting us, because how is it possible that we're so tiny and we need for sense gratification every single day and we're still not falling down? Right? So there's so much protection that we get from chanting Hare Krishna, from just engaging, although we're out selling books, and you know, someone comes up to you and completely on the body concept, and we're just thinking, oh Krishna. Or they remind us of what we used to be before we met devotees, and we just know, oh, this is what they're going to do, this is how they're going to enjoy. I know all of this, I've been through it before. So for us, the reason why we're not so much, you know, falling down or becoming so agitated is because we're engaging in Krishna's pure devotional service. So the energy that we're under is Krishna's internal potency, so that protects us. When we're sincerely endeavoring to serve Krishna, although we're still in the material world, we're dealing with so many, you know, conflicting, we're dealing with the modes of material nature, then we deal with people who are under the modes of material nature every single day. So we're following the nine processes of bhakti. So Krishna is protecting us. Lord Chaitanya is actually protecting us. But otherwise it wouldn't be possible for us to keep on going every day and just not getting so affected. So this process, we become protected by taking shelter of the process, our everyday chanting. This is how we purify our mind. We go out there, we come back, we see the deities. Krishna purifies us. We have prasad and Krishna purifies us. We hear kirtan, chanting of the holy name, that will purify us. And this is where Srila Prabhupada, some devotees will say, oh Srila Prabhupada, I'm so fallen, I'll never make it, I have this, I have that. And he says, you just continue. You know, in your preaching endeavors, you might face so many different, like sometimes, you know, people just run up to you and hug you. Mm-hmm. Like you're preaching, you're doing Harinam or something, or someone is very excited about the program. Thank you very much! They grab mm-hmm. you and you're like, oh. It happens so many times. You have a purple coming up to you, kiss you on the cheek, and you're like, or it might be cousin dances in front, not a, you know, dances in front of you, and you're thinking, okay. And they're not really dressed in Vaishnava attire, so it's just in your face, and you're like, oh, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Like you just continue with your service. That's all we can do, because every day all these things just pop up, and then you just hit, and you're thinking, oh my Lord. How am I going to escape this one? So we just continue and chant Hare Krishna. When Giriraj Swami was in Juhu, when he was meeting with the lawyers and they're trying to secure the land, Mr. N kept on trying to make all these different accusations of the Hare Krishna. And when they had this one meeting, I think it's in his book, is it Watering the Seed? Planting the Seed. Yeah. So he explains that at one point they sent a car and he got in, he was going there, and then there was this, they put some beautiful young ladies inside, and he's a young sannyas, and he said immediately he just went, oh Krishna, and they just sat right next to him, like right, and he just thought, I'm finished. And they kept on, you know, like proposing to him, you know, just being, I'm here, let's enjoy. And he said the only thing he was doing, he was just chanting Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantra. He was thinking, there's no, you know, there's no other way, no one to save you but Srila Prabhupada. So that was his focus. So it happens to us all the time. We're trying to remain fixed, and we're preaching, and we'll face this all the time. This is something that we'll deal with all the time. Someone comes in, they're half naked, and they want to hug you, and they kiss you, and it's just like, so we just continue with our preaching, and Lord Chaitanya will protect us, because our sincerity is exposing them to the holy name. They're going to benefit anyway. But we should never stop. We should just continue taking even more shelter of Krishna. The more we do outreach, the more we have to take shelter of Krishna, because we become also, you know, we become exposed to all these different illnesses, all these diseases people are spurting out from the material energy. So we have to take even more shelter when we're doing a lot of outreach to get more strength. Okay, thank you very much. Gunsharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam,